Guys, if you could flip up 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to be having a look at verses 1 to 14. So I'll read verses 1 to 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard until that day what's been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Well, Paul is in prison in Rome, and he's soon to be executed. It's about 64 AD. He's about to get his head chopped off. And Timothy is leading a church in Ephesus, which is kind of on the west coast of modern-day Turkey. And Timothy had been Paul's apprentice, really. He'd been converted on Paul's first missionary trip in a town called Lystra. And then on Paul's second trip, going back through that town in Acts 16, he joined Paul and they travelled together. And then over the years, Paul entrusted to Timothy more and more tasks. You can read about those in 1 Thessalonians and in 1 Corinthians. And then he was with Paul when Paul wrote some of his letters, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. And then in 1 Timothy, we see that Paul left Timothy behind in Ephesus to lead the church. And what we see is Timothy's been gradually given more and more responsibilities as Paul passes on the baton to the next generation. And here we are in pretty much Paul's last words. These three letters, 2 Timothy's and Titus, are his last writings. And so what we have here is it's kind of like his last will and testament as he gives these key points to the next generation of Christian leader. And so it's ideal wisdom, these letters, for young leaders. There's lots we can do through all three of these letters. So do go away and read them, study them. But we're going to focus on chapter 1 right now. And we're going to focus on 2 points from chapter 1. Firstly, don't be afraid. And secondly, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. So let's start. Don't be afraid. Verses 1 to 7. Don't be afraid. Stick with it. Don't be afraid. Stick with it. He says there's a problem for Timothy. He's a young guy, relatively, and he's not in the best of health. You can have a look at that at the end of 1 Timothy in chapter 5. I'm not entirely sure what's wrong with him, but he's not a very well guy, sometimes it seems. And there's opposition from inside the church and outside the church. So verse 12, there's suffering for Paul. And verse 15, there are chiefly among them Phygelus and Hermogenes who turned away from the teaching of Paul. But actually, the whole of Asia Asia, meaning what we now call Turkey, have given up on the gospel. So there's opposition from outside and in. And Timothy's probably thinking, I can't do this. And maybe some of you are thinking, well, I'm not really sure I want to be here. I'm not really sure I want to be looking after my student group at university. Maybe you're thinking, I'm relatively young. I'm relatively inexperienced. I don't know much. Maybe there's pressure not necessarily just from opposition, but pressure just because you're so busy. You've got so much work to do. There's so many competing pressures and priorities. There may be many things. Well, what does Paul say to Timothy? He says, fan into flame the gift of God, there in verse 6. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He says, don't be afraid. Get going. Use your gifts. Follow your calling. Stick with it. And that's true for all of us, whether you're a CMF leader or not. That call to use the gifts that God has given us. Don't be afraid. Use the gifts that God has given you. And for those of you who are here, you are in a position of leadership. So use that gift that you've been given, that opportunity. I don't know exactly what your role will be, but whatever it is, don't be afraid. Stick with it. Well, it's all very well to say that. What grounds does Paul give that encouragement to get on with the job? See, in verse 6, he says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. So what reason is that? For this reason? Well, it's verses 3 to 5. See, firstly, he's not alone. See, some of you may be thinking, I'm on my own. Some of you come from huge CMF groups where there's like, you know, 200 of you on the book. And there's some of you come from places where there's like one of you and you're it. And you do feel that you're alone. Well, you see, Timothy may have been alone geographically, he was apart from Paul. But he's not alone in the bigger picture, in God's kingdom, in the history of God's people. It's like Paul loves him. Paul is praying for him constantly. His mother, his grandmother, I don't know whether they're still alive or not, and Paul's ancestors, they stand together in a long line of those who know God. Across the world, across eternity, we stand shoulder to shoulder with each other. You're not the only one. Now, I didn't know Paul. I don't know your parents or your grandparents. But all of us here are connected together in God's family. You know who taught you, who brought you to Jesus. And we know of the great saints of the history and the Bible who've been there before us. We know of those who've led our groups before us back in university. And we know there are stacks of people like us in other places. In fact, that's one big reason to get you guys here this weekend, so that you can actually meet each other and encourage one another to see that you guys are all doing the same job. And that's great. So do use that opportunity to get to know each other. But he doesn't just remind Timothy that he's one of the many of God's people who've walked this path before him. You see, there in verse 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. It's all God's work. It's a gift of God, verse 6. It's the Spirit of God in verse 7. It's God himself who's with us. So in all that you do, remember it's God's work. The gifts you have, they're given to you by God. The opportunities you have to be a CMF group leader, it's given to you by God. God himself is with you. And God's Spirit doesn't fill us with fear, but with his power, his love, and his self-control. And so Paul can say, fan into flame your gift. Don't be afraid. Stick with it. You're one of God's people. You're filled with his Spirit. You're using his gifts and his strength. And therefore, what does Paul do? He prays. It's God's work, so Paul thanks God. He prays constantly for Timothy there in verse 3. Because he's utterly dependent on God, not on himself. And that's why he can say, don't be afraid, stick with it. Because it doesn't depend on me, but on God. And if it does depend on God, we need to thank him. for what he's done. And we need to pray for him to carry on that work through us. And that's true for all of us. So we need to be together in prayer. Because we're God's people, standing together to do God's work in God's power. So do get to know each other this weekend. And then keep in touch with each other. Share your difficulties, your encouragements. Certainly within your regions, which we'll talk about what those mean later on. Work together. It's so much easier nowadays with Facebook and email and that sort of stuff. Texting. So much easier for you than it was for Paul and Timothy. I mean, he had to rely on, some bloke on a donkey in a boat going several hundred miles and would have taken weeks for a letter to get across. You can just button and you're there. And you can pray for someone. So we've got no excuse. And let's motivate each other to keep going. Pray for each other. Thank God. Pray constantly. Pray for those you meet with this weekend. Ask what you need prayer for of each other. And then seek out prayer, not just from yourselves, not just from people in this room, but back at home. Go to your church leaders. Go to your CU committees. Go to your family and friends and ask them to pray for you. Because you've got a role, you've got a task. And it's an important task. And it's God's work. So you need people to be praying for you. So ask them to, and tell them what you need prayer for. So that's my first point. Don't be afraid. Stick with it. And my second point is, don't be ashamed. Stick with the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Stick with the gospel. This is verses 8 to 14. So don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed either of the gospel itself, there in verse 8, nor of Paul, his prisoner. Instead, be ready to suffer for it, as Paul did. In fact, we're called, or Timothy's called, to suffer for the gospel in verse 8, to follow the gospel in verse 13, to guard it in verse 14. Why might he be tempted to drift away? Well, there's these others that we mentioned in verse 15. Everyone in Asia, Phygelus, Hermogenes. Maybe it was persecution, maybe it was heresy. And you can see a bit of the kind of heresy it might have been in chapter 2 and in chapter 4. The gospel seems weak. It's not popular. In 1 Corinthians, this idea that people didn't like it because there weren't flamboyant signs and rituals. It wasn't clever, persuasive rhetoric and reason. So it's a story of a man on a cross. And it just seems so pathetic. But it claims to be the only way to God. And that doesn't fit well with Rome's multi-faith empire. It refuses to bow the knee to the emperor. It makes enormous claims on people. To follow Christ is to give up everything. And that doesn't fit with a Roman Empire that's so obsessed with physical pleasure. Isn't that true of us too, today? We don't live in a society much different, really. There's different reasons. Maybe our Muslim friends think that what we believe is all nonsense. The idea that God could become man, let alone die. That's demeaning, that's pathetic. That's not what God should be like. To our secularist friends, maybe our gospel is outrageously insulting to claim that Jesus is the only way to God. And maybe to everyone, the demand that we give up everything to follow Jesus is offensive. What right does he have to tell me how to live my life? There are lots of areas of opposition. I think there are three key ones you're going to face. One's intellectual. How can you believe that nonsense in the face of what we know about cosmology and evolution? A theological, the uniqueness of Jesus. An ethical, particularly Christian sexual morality today. Well, we're going to be opposed because of those things. And increasingly so in the coming years. So how tempting it'll be just to slip away from that into a kind of mushy relativism, to deny the absolute claims of the gospel and its implications. And as opposition grows, and it will, Christian leaders, church leaders, CU leaders, CMF leaders will be labelled, they'll be ostracised. She's thick, he's a bigot. You're a fundamentalist, with the emphasis on the word mentalist. And so we'll be ashamed, we'll be tempted to be ashamed of our friends and leaders, just as the Ephesian church was tempted to be ashamed of Paul, that little ugly bloke who wasn't much of a public speaker, who got on everyone's nerves, and he's now rotting in a Roman jail. How embarrassing. It's much better to follow a leader who's charismatic and telegenic and good in the media. He pulls in the crowds. He earns the respect of our non-Christian friends. No, says Paul. Stay true to me. Stay true to the gospel I'm preaching and which I've passed on to you. Because it's God's gospel of salvation. And without it, we're going to be lost. Because we can't get to God by ourselves. Look at verses 9 and 10. We need this story of a man on a cross. Because it's so much more than that. It's God's eternal plan to defeat death. Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again. He brings new life and power to those who follow him. It's the only way there is. It's not theory. It's real and it's personal. See, look, Paul is not ashamed because he knows not just what he believes, but whom he believes. There in verse 12. He knows Jesus. He enjoys relationship with God the Father through Jesus by the power of the Spirit. And so, Timothy, he can say, and so, CMF leader, we can say, stick with the gospel. Because it's through this gospel that we know Jesus, that we're forgiven, that we have real life. So follow Paul's teaching. Guard the message of this gospel. How do we do that? Well, we need to be focused on the gospel, on the good news of Jesus, in all that we do. Our job, your job, back in your medical schools, is making disciples among medics. Don't lose that focus. Making disciples. So focus on the gospel and faithful to the Bible. The whole story of the gospel from beginning to end, the Bible points us to Jesus. It's what we need to be teaching ourselves. It's what we need to be planning for our programs. We'll be talking about that later this weekend. All that we do in our planning, in our teaching, it must be faithful to God's word and bringing people to know Jesus more and more. Not just in our groups, but in prayer triplets, in one-to-ones, in your own quiet times. Study it. Let it fill your thinking. Let it change you. Follow it. Well, that's my 2 points. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. Know that it's God's work, and it's his Spirit who'll keep his word alive. So keep going, don't be afraid. Keep to the gospel, don't be ashamed. Now, we started this weekend here because what we've been just talking about are the assumptions behind everything else we're going to be talking about this weekend. All the nitty-gritty of being a student link, all of connecting medics together and planning programs to help them learn and serve. It all assumes that we're drenched in a prayerful dependence on God and his word. That the ministry of word and prayer is central to everything that we do. So let's keep together, because we're God's people standing together for his gospel. Let's keep praying, because it's God's work. Let's keep faithful to the Bible, because it's God's word. And let's keep focused on the gospel, because it's the only way people can be saved. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Lawrence, who is going to take over and tell us more about